we move ahead to Food Fight with Rick Kogan. Hey, Rick, how are you?
John, how are you? I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm good.
Get your voice lower, will you? It's too...
Can't be done, man. Can't be done. It's as low as it goes. Believe me, it's as low as it goes.
Rick,
so this host- food fight
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Lead me through it. I know what we're going to talk ribs, correct?
Well, you see, that is a, you posed a very good question there. And the fact that, what really is it? What is this food fight? Well, a lot of the time it depends on whether or not the battle of the fight over the food really is heartfelt, for instance. Tonight,
like,
right?
Like you think the ribs at the, you know, at Carson's are the best in the city, and I think the ribs at the closed, soon to reopen Gale Street Inn are the best. That's not a good thing. I don't think a food fight is good. I'd love to talk about ribs in the city of Chicago, and maybe by the end of our segments, people would go, oh, man, I'm going to try that place. Kogan likes that, or I'm going to try that place. Landecker likes that. You know what I mean? To give people more choices.
Well, that's a fine idea, but I was told this was going to be about dry ribs versus wet ribs, but it can be about anything.
Come on. It might be if I had the slightest idea. I don't know how to cook. I wouldn't know the difference. I wouldn't know the difference between dry ribs and wet ribs if someone slapped me in the face with a half slab of them.
Well, you know, welcome to the club. I don't cook either.
Good.
I think I might have made ribs somewhere, I don't know, in some other decade when I really didn't know what I was doing. And
and you obviously didn't stick with it. So
right,
they
exactly.
must have been really good or really horrible.
And I might add, I never met a rib that I didn't like, to be honest.
True.
And
that's true. I love ribs. I love ribs. I just think they're way beyond my culinary skill to make. And I've had some, you know, I've had some favorite places in town. I still love the ribs at Twin Anchors in the heart of Old Town.
Yeah, you bet.
If I'm really splurging, I'll have ribs at Gibson's. I guess people think, well, Gibson's is only a steak place. They've got awfully good ribs.
They've got awfully good just about everything. All right, I'll take I'll take you back. I'm pretty sure I've got the name right.
Mm-hmm.
C.W. Napkin. Does that ring a bell with you at all?
Yes, it does. I don't know why, but it does. Yes.
They were a delivery.
Yeah.
I mean, they did more than ribs, but
sure.
My kids and I always did their ribs. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we ordered CW Napkin ribs. Oh, I don't know, in late 70s, mid 70s. They were awesome. And, you know,
I'll tell you, that seems to me when ribs really became a notable food on the scene. Because I'll tell you something, and my expertise comes from 1982 when Mike Royko, who you know and most of your listeners know, wrote a column claiming that ribs and rib sauce were created in 1449 in Warsaw by his ancestor, Aunt Willie Mae Royko. He wrote this column saying that his uncle killed a hog and Willie Mae said, and he wrote this in the column, he said, he was a good and loyal pig, so he deserves something special, and thus she invented rib sauce with what she said were 351 secret ingredients. And I remember when Mike wrote that, and the week afterward, John, he got hundreds of, remember, old-fashioned letters. People would
sit down with
a pen saying, well, you're nuts. My uncle makes the best rib sauce in the history of this. You're nuts. No Polish person makes rib sauce, blah, blah. And he had, that summer, the first Mike Royko Rib Fest.
Oh, yes, of course.
Remember this?
Oh, my God, yes, they were gigantic.
That took over a huge space of Grant Park,
Park.
In the north of the old bandstand.
Yeah.
There were it was one of, in its way, I thought it was one of the greatest events ever. There were something in the neighborhood of 480 contestants. They each got, for no money, a square of the park, 10 right. by 10.
Yep.
And they spent all day cooking ribs. And I was a judge. I was a judge at that one, a judge at the second one, and the chief judge at the last one. And it was, what was incredible about it, John, that I thought it was a city the way it should be. You had people from Lake Forest cooking ribs next to people from the Robert Taylor homes, cooking next to people from Blue Island. And it, everybody got along. There was not a hint of any kind of problem. And the guy who won, his name was Charlie Robinson, and all he got for winning the first Lego Rib Fest was a license plate, a real Illinois license plate that said ribs and the number one, and some kind of, you know, like a diploma saying you won Mariko's Rib Fest.
Right.
What Charlie did, and this is how he ran an ice cream parlor on the south side. He took the license plate, he took that piece of paper, he went to a bank, he borrowed money on that alone to start a restaurant, and he started Robinson's Ribs.
Robinson Ribs. Yeah, that's one of the
that's one of the great rib stories of all time. And he was such a nice guy, Charlie.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the greatest rib stories ever, anywhere. I mean, that whole thing. You just brought that back to me. That whole Royco Rib Fest with Grant Park, it was just, but you see, the thing was, that's the part that sort of touches on a food fight, but that only works with people who are into their own sauce, into their own rubs, feel theirs at the best.
Yes,
feel
or
they have, feel they have
their,
a,
or yeah, own see, their own restaurant.
have their own secret recipe, you know, and like you were a judge. So obviously, the folks doing the ribs had great pride in whatever their particular secret sauce or secret rub was.
And they also tried, and believe me, they also tried the minute, there were three judges to do each row of 10, and you'd go to each one, move back and forth from them, and it virtually everyone it tried to get you drunk. They tried to give you money. And one guy in the first year, one guy kept eating. We've been to three, and he's eating, literally, John, he's eating like 10 ribs at each one of the three places. And I go, man, what are you doing? Are you nuts? He goes, look, I didn't eat for 2 days just so I could get these ribs done. I said, you can't eat 10 ribs with all sorts of different sauces at 10 different places. That's 100 ribs. He goes, well, I'll be able to do it. By the fifth or sixth place, he literally collapsed and an ambulance had to be called.
No.
He lived. He lived.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to die by ribs? It's a 720.
That would be a tough way to go.
Yes. Just see the obituary. 720 WGN. More with Rick when we come back on 720 WGN. That's right. We're doing, allegedly, we're doing ribs, dry rub or wet. And, for just a moment, we salute ribs in Hollywood. Here we go. Let's see. We have Dr. Evil. I guess that was Fat Bastard. And then we go into the actual recording session for that baby back rib jingle. And so you heard the guys in there goofing off afterwards.
Yes. You can take the music jack out of the music, but you can't let the music...
Yeah,
stay
I
out.
Suppose.
That was fun. That was fun. That was fun. I think the whole, you know, as we're talking about all this, I mean, Charlie Robinson, there's still Robinson Ribs in Chicago. There's Lem's Barbecue on the south side, which is a great place. There are all these great, great places. You don't hear, I guess, John, that maybe even people our age are like, well, I'm a vegan now, or I can't eat ribs. And, you know, eating ribs is something like out of, you know, caveman days, kind of. You know, it's not a dainty, wet or dry, it's not a dainty food.
No,
but
it's not.
I think people splurge when they do it, and I think it's, there's no harm. Just don't have, you know, ham and eggs for breakfast. It's I think ribs are an important part of the city. This was, you know, the place was the hog butcher to the world, man. Right. Yeah. And I think ribs, and including the whole Royko connection. There was a book, you know, because I keep track of trends in food, but as I said, that first Royko Rib Fest attracted 400 some cooks. The third one attracted about 600, all in Grand Park. And this book came out called The Chicago Food Encyclopedia, published by the University of Illinois Press, and it cited the Rib Fest, Royko's Rib Fest, as one of the nation's first barbecue competitions. Think of how many there must be now. There must be hundreds of them everywhere. But Chicago, yeah, again, I would think claim so. To be the first. Yeah, well, yeah.
Getting back to what you said, I am a regular rib consumer, by the way. I mean, good. I'm not, good. I haven't, in fact, I think I've upped my intake, as a matter of fact, over the past year or two.
Good for you.
Because there's something carnal about it. You grab it with your hands, you know, you're like chomping down with your jaws. It is a return to like your basic hunter-gatherer, I don't know. DNA.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, I've been, you know, Gibson's is a fairly rarefied kind of place. It's famous for being a steak place, but you go in there on any night and you will see people seduced by the ribs on the menu. You'll see, it's the kind of place, and believe me, and you know this too, that ribs aren't on the menu of every hip, chic restaurant in Chicago. Believe me, there's no way to make one of the really, you know, where they serve air and stuff like that. You know, can you imagine? Order the ribs and you get just a bone, no meat, but just one single bone. There's nothing chic and hip about it. And because there's nothing chic and hip about it, it symbolizes Chicago to me. That's wet, dry. I don't care. I'll try any kind of rib.
Well, you see, I agree with you, Rick. But there is my little research on ribs before tonight. Sure. Apparently, there is. I don't know how extreme the division is between people who are into the dry or people who are into the wet. I mean, there is some sort of competitive nature of that. Like I'm with you though. I mean, I can go either way. And the thing about restaurants is I think that you have to be able to sort of lose your, the word I'm looking for here. You don't care if you're embarrassed by how you eat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're probably going to have a bib on, I would imagine. And
sure. And you're going to have a washcloth at the end of the meal too.
And it's going to get all, you know, the fingers, and it's going to get around your mouth, and it's going to get everywhere. And, you know, some people, maybe when they're out, don't want to do that. I can do that. I'll do it. I mean,
I will bring
the rib on
too.
Right.
And the other thing is, John, if we're sitting at a table and someone comes, or the waiter comes up, and if there is a choice, and I've never, ever been asked this question in a restaurant.
Yeah.
If I said, yeah, could I have the ribs, half slab? The only thing is half slab or full slab. Okay, I'll pick one. No one has ever asked me, wet or dry. If the first time that ever happens, I'm going to get up and walk out. I'm not going to make the choice. I'm going to get up and walk out.
Well, Rick, you asked the question at the beginning what the food fight is about, and it's over. So now you know.
I think what it is, the ones I've heard before, I mean, it's not so much, oh, I like this and you hate this. What you're doing, John, is you're enlightening people and you're giving them, I think you're giving listeners ideas. I will be stunned if a bunch of your listeners aren't going out tomorrow to have ribs. I don't own a restaurant, go wherever you want. And I think that's a real
Just talking about service. It right now makes me want to go. So, but I still have some time I have to spend here tonight. Thanks so much for coming on, Rick. I really appreciate it.
Hey, John. Anytime for you, Bill. Anytime. Right. See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye. Rick Hogan. Man, what a great character he is. I'm telling you. You want to talk about Chicago? He's your oracle.